Thank you, Brother Bob. It's the first time I've preached in the round. I feel like I'm kind of enclosed here. I'm glad each one of you laughed at that, because it may be the last laugh that you get tonight. Because I'm going to preach tonight about something that's serious. Something that touches each one of us. Something that we all have to face each day, each hour, yea, almost each minute. And that's the devil. You know, he's out there and he's trying to drag us down. He's trying to take control of our lives. And he's been doing this since man came upon this earth. He was in the Garden of Eden, and he tempted Adam and Eve. He was with Cain and Abel, and he overcame there. He was with the whole earth until they got so vile, so terrible, and drug down so much that God had enough. And he destroyed all those except Noah and his family. And he's trying to do the same thing today. And you know what is the seriousness of this matter? He's succeeding. He's winning. We're letting him win. We are doing everything in our power to let the devil win. Because we're not fighting, brothers and sisters. I'd like to read a little bit out of Matthew. The 4th chapter. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. And yes, they're familiar verses. You've heard them over and over again. You've heard them preach from the pulpits. It's when Jesus had to face that same temptation that we face daily. That same adversary that we're locked in mortal combat with, the devil. And I read this to show you how he handled the situation. How he was able to overcome that which tempted him. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after a hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And that's what we're doing today. We're to take that which is written. We're to take that which is in the books to help us in our fight with Satan. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again." Again he went to the written word. Again he relied on that which went before him. "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Oh, what a temptation. What a temptation. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Yes, Jesus was tempted of the same things that we're tempted of today. If we were offered all of the riches of this world, if we were offered all the power that is in this world, if we could command the mighty nations of the world, would we be able to turn it down? Would we be able to say, get thee hence, Satan? Are we saying that today? I fear not. I fear we're giving in to those temptations. I fear that we're giving in to the devil. I fear that he is winning the battle for our souls. The Book of Mormon says, temptations blind the eyes, yes, and harden the hearts of men. The temptations that we have to face. And you know that the devil knows those little temptations that will tempt just you. It may not be a temptation to someone else, but he knows your weaknesses and your weaknesses and your weakness. And he's able to get his hands into you, get his mind into you, and use that weakness that you particularly have to try to drive a wedge between you and our Heavenly Father. Between me and my Heavenly Father. Yes, God knows our weaknesses too. And he's there offering us help to overcome the devil. The Book of Mormon, page 603, verse 38 to 42. And I'd like to read that. And it came to pass that thus passed away the 95th year also, and the people began to forget those signs and wonders which they had heard, and began to be less and less astonished at a sign or a wonder from heaven. And that's the way we're getting today. We're becoming hard in our hearts. It takes more and more to amaze us. It takes more and more to wonder us. It takes bigger and bigger miracles to turn our heads. We are becoming the same way that these people had become, in so much that they began to be hard in their hearts and blind in their minds, and began to disbelieve all which they had heard and seen. Imagining up some vain thing in their hearts that it was wrought by men and by the power of the devil to lead away and deceive the hearts of the people. And thus did Satan get possession of the hearts of the people again, insomuch that he did blind their eyes and lead them away to believe that the doctrine of Christ was a foolish and a vain thing. We haven't reached that point yet. We haven't reached that point in this Church of Christ yet. But if we don't change our ways, if we don't take a new road, if we don't take a new attitude, we surely will reach that point. And it came to pass that the people began to wax strong in wickedness and abominations. And they did not believe that there should be any more signs or wonders given. And Satan did go about leading away the hearts of the people, tempting them and causing them that they should do great wickedness in the land. Does it sound familiar? Christ says in Luke, "Neither be ye of doubtful mind." Brothers and sisters, we are beginning to doubt. We are beginning to doubt the things that God has given us in times past. We might start out doubting a word or two in the Book of Mormon. And before we know it, we've thrown out the whole book. We might start doubting Latter-day Revelation. We might start doubting that God can talk to us in this day and time. And the first thing you know, we throw that out. Then we might look at the Bible and say, "I don't believe the fifth chapter of Matthew." And so we tear it out and throw it away. And the first thing you know, we have nothing. We have nothing. And the devil is victorious over our souls. Satan puts pride in our hearts. The Book of Mormon says that the pride of your hearts can destroy your souls. Pride in us thinking that we are right. Pride in us thinking that we are doing the will of God. Turn over, if you will, to page 552 in the Book of Mormon. And I want to just read 29 through 32. "And in the 51st year of the reign of the judges, there was peace also, save it were the pride which began to enter into the church. Not into the church of God, but into the hearts of the people who professed to belong to the church of God. And they were lifted up in pride, even to the persecution of many of the brethren. Now this was a great evil, which did cause the more humble part of the people to suffer great persecutions and to wade through much affliction. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in the humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the filling their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God." That's what we have to do, brothers and sisters. We have to yield our hearts to God. We have to get down on our knees and let Him come into our lives. We have to stop being pretenders to be Christ's people. We're pretending at being Christians. We go through the motions of being upstanding people of God, and yet God is far from our hearts. "And it came to pass that the 52nd year ended in peace also, save it were the exceeding great pride which had gotten to the hearts of the people, and it was because of their exceeding great riches and their prosperity in the land, and it did grow upon them from day to day." Along those same lines, I'd like to turn over to page 418. Start at the 98th verse. Now from this stand they did offer up every man the selfsame prayer unto God, thanking their God that they were chosen of him, that he did not lead them away after tradition of their brethren, and that their hearts were not stolen away to believe in things to come, which they knew nothing about. Now after the people had all offered up thanks after this manner, they returned to their homes, never speaking of their God again, until they had assembled themselves together again in the holy stand to offer up thanks after this manner. Now when Alma saw this, his heart was grieved, for he saw that they were a wicked and a perverse people. Yea, he saw that their hearts were set upon gold, upon silver, and upon all manner of fine goods. Yea, and he also saw that their hearts were lifted up unto great boasting in their pride. And he lifted up his voice to heaven and cried, saying, Oh, how long, O Lord, wilt thou suffer that thy servants shall dwell here below in the flesh, to behold such gross wickedness among the children of men? Behold, O God, they cry unto thee, and yet their hearts are swallowed up in their pride. Behold, O God, they cry unto thee with their mouths, while they are puffed up even to greatness with the vain things of the world. Does this sound familiar to us? Do we go to church on Sunday, Wednesday afternoon? Possibly Wednesday night, possibly Sunday night, and then go home. I made a mistake, didn't I? My wife. I said Wednesday morning, Wednesday night. And then quickly forget the things that we have heard in those services and speak no more of God, think no more of him until the next time that we meet together, if we don't have something else to do, if something else isn't more important. You know, I happen to notice in my travels around this church that we are a very good Christian people Sunday morning. Our congregations are full on Sunday morning. What happens to the people on Sunday night? Where have all of the good Christians gone? And come Wednesday night prayer service, where have all of the good Christians gone? Is this pleasing to our Heavenly Father? Or are we letting the devil get into our lives? Are we letting Satan put something a little more important in our lives than our services? The fourth chapter of James says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I'd like to turn over to James. I want to read out of the fifth chapter, verses 1-6. And this is another way that the devil has worked his way into the hearts of men. This is another way that the devil is trying to drag us down and away from Christ. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the horror of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reapeth are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as a day in slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. We are getting greedy. We're spending more and more time trying to earn that almighty dollar. Another way that the devil gets into our hearts. Yes, we have to earn a living. Yes, we have to make our way here on this earth. But when we let that job take precedence over the things of God, it's another way that the devil can get hold of our hearts and drag us down. That hunger, not only for material wealth, but that hunger for power has got its hold upon us. And it has plagued this church from its beginning. Not long after this church was organized in 1830, men, hunger for power, hungering for that power and that position, made themselves presidents, exalted themselves in high offices. And when Joseph Smith was killed, and you read your history, you'll see the power struggle that went on at that time, further dividing the church into many, many segments. And it was greed. Not greed of material wealth, but greed for power that position brings. Satan tempts us with the works of the flesh as recorded in Galatians. And I'd like you to turn with me and let's read those works of the flesh. We'll read out of the chapter 5 and start at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now I know in that list that there are many things that these people in the Church of Christ, including myself, don't do. But if there is just one of them that is in your life or in your heart, the Bible tells us that we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot inherit the kingdom of God if we have envy in our hearts, if we have hatred for our brother, if we have strife one with another. And can we say tonight, in honesty and in truth, that we do not have any of these things among us tonight? If we can say that with honesty, I'll do you a favor and quit and walk out the door. But I tell you, I'm safe. I'm safe. Because they're here. They're within the Church of Christ, and God is angry. And God is hurt. And He's disappointed that we, His chosen people, have allowed such things into our life. Turn over with me to the Book of Mormon. Page 316, that's the third chapter of the Book of Alma. Start at the 47th verse. And I want each one of you to take note. I want each one of you to ask these questions of yourselves and honestly answer them to yourselves. Have ye walked keeping yourself blameless before God? Could ye say, if ye were called to die at this time within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble? That your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, who will come to redeem His people from their sins? Not just saying, brothers and sisters, that we believe in Jesus Christ, that we believe that He did die for our sins, but taking them within your heart. Truly taking the name of God and Christ into your heart and your lives. Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not prepared to meet God. Behold, ye must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand, and such a one hath not eternal life. Behold, I say, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? I say unto you that such a one is not prepared, and I would that ye should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand, and he knoweth not when the time shall come, for such a one is not found guiltless. And again I say unto you, is there one among you that doth make a mock of his brother, or that heapeth upon him persecutions? Woe unto such a one, for he is not prepared, And the time is at hand that ye must repent, or ye cannot be saved. Yea, even woe unto all ye workers of iniquity. Repent, repent, for the Lord God has spoken it. And He has spoken it to you in your hearts, to repent of those things that each one of us know that we have inside us that is contrary to God's will, that is dragging us down towards Satan. There's other things that Satan is subtly trying to do to take our attention away from God. And again, in my travels around through the church, going from local to local, I see some of the same things. I see a drifting away of the respect for the services. I hear noises and disturbances within the services that should not be there. I see a tearing down of respect for the church buildings. The places where you and I go to worship. I see an eroding of respect to the speakers when they're behind the altar. All of these things is the devil's work. All of these things are Satan's tools. Let's turn over to Ephesians. I want to read the 4th chapter and verses 11 through 15. 4th chapter of Ephesians. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking in truth, in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Thank you very much. These are the things that we need to do. We need to come closer together. We need to be unified in the faith. We need to be together in the knowledge that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that He loves us, that He wants to guide us and direct us, that we can turn to Him when we are overcome with the devil, when we are being besieged by temptations, when we're being put down by Satan. We need to know. We need to be unified. Mark 7:7 says, "The hypocrites honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men." We don't want to be guilty of that, brothers and sisters. We don't want to be guilty of being taught by the precepts of men. We want to be standing upon those things that has been given us in times past. We want to be standing upon the Scriptures firmly, with a sure knowledge that we are right. Page 163 in the Book of Mormon. Starting with verse 29. "Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen." Yes, we must press forward with that steadfastness in Christ. We must have that perfect hope, or we will fall to the wiles of the devil. Right across the page in Ephesians, in the fifth chapter, in the fifth chapter, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints." And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be saints of God. "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Walk as children of light. Not pretending, but being truly the followers of Jesus Christ. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Now we're not quite dead. But if we don't change, if we don't go in that new direction, if we don't come closer to Christ, we will be dead spiritually. We will be dead spiritually. I want to turn over and use as my last reading Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 18. And this gives us a way to escape these things that I have been talking about tonight. For my heart is heavy. And I fear for us. I fear for us. Because I've seen a slip. I've seen a slide backwards from that which we have had. And I know it doesn't please our Heavenly Father. Chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'd like to close tonight with a poem written by Helen Steiner Rice. He asks so little and gives so much. What must I do to ensure peace of mind? Is the answer I'm seeking too hard to find? How can I know what God wants me to do? How can I tell what's expected of me? Where can I go for the guidance and aid to help me correct the errors I've made? The answer is found in doing three things And great is the gladness that doing them brings. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly with God. For with these three things as your rule and your rod, all things worth having are yours to achieve if you follow God's words and have faith to believe. Brothers and sisters, I love every one of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Frank. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to challenge you. Before we sing the closing song, I'd like to challenge each and every one of you to spend 5 minutes tonight before you go to bed. 5 minutes on Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 19th to the 21st verse. And as you read and pray and meditate over that, remember that tomorrow we come to partake of the broken body and the spilt blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we can meditate that we might do so with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Tomorrow morning, the sacrament service will begin at 9 a.m. Here again, are there any other announcements, Roland? 30 a.m., breakfast, 9 to 12, sacrament service. Apostle Marvin Ely and Apostle William Sheldon will be in charge. Noon, the noon meal. From 2 to 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon will be a musical special. 3:15 tomorrow afternoon will be preaching by Apostle Don McIndoo. Tomorrow evening there will be no evening services. Use hymn number 34.